Our next speaker is Erica Forta. I had the great pleasure of meeting you for the first time. You are working with one of my former students in the University of Bohm. Erica Forta did his PhD in Geneva University, and she is an expert on Buddhist art and archaeology in Eastern Central Asia and China. And she studied Chinese archaeology and received a university degree in the art history and archaeology, Central Asia, University of La Sapienza. You all come from Geneva and then La Sapienza, the contact. So she's the editor of the online biography database, Cultural History of the Western Himalayas and Adjacent Areas, and the co-author of the volume Crossing Borders, Tibet Dialogue with Neighboring Beijing and Vietnam. So she's at the moment working at the ERC project in Buddhist Road, and I know quite soon you'll be in Vienna for another interesting project. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your introduction, and sorry for this big display of symbols, but since I'm sponsored, I have to use this format of slides. Okay, miniature stupa and clay plaques, often referred as to tsatsa, were a common attribute of Mahayana devotional practice in Buddhist Asia. As pointed by previous studies, in the Indian subcontinent, where the use of Buddhist votive plaques originated, their earliest appearance dates to around 7th century of Common Era. While the major concentration of archaeological evidence for this class of objects is to be found in the Gangetic plain, especially eastern India. Imported from India to Tibet, the tradition of molding images in clay as a votive offering became a characteristic aspect of cult practice in Tibetan Buddhism. It is in fact in the Tibetan area that we find probably the richest documentation on this class of objects, fully attested as early as the 10th, 11th centuries. The use and the production of votive clay plaques was common also in other areas of the Indian subcontinent, in the northwest, in regions such as Kashmir and Afghanistan during the late Buddhist period, and in Central Asia. Nevertheless, only few evidence of clay votive plaques are known from these areas, and there is generally little documentation. The evidence for Eastern Central Asia, so I'm talking about the Tarim Basin, is even more scattered. Some examples have been documented in old excavation as well in casual finds in Dunhuang, Turfan, and Khotan, covering a time range of 7th to 11th century, but at these dates, there is not a systematical study, so these are dates that are proposed in museum site, and so I'm not saying that this is the date, but just as an information. And also in Kucha, but I couldn't find a picture to put in this in this slide. So in recent years, a large-scale archaeological excavation in Khotan has revealed new evidence of Buddhist structures in the area of Tomoko and the site of Top Luk Dong, and along with numerous important findings, the presence of votive clay plaques has been reported. Until a few years ago, it seemed that this class of objects is seldom seen in the known panorama of Khotanese archaeology. It therefore seemed to me that the discovery from the Buddhist ruin of Top Luk Dong is particularly deserving attention. I will give you now a summary of the layout of the ruins so that you understand the context of the findings. The site is located 7 kilometers southwest of modern village of Tomoko. And the remains consist of three structural units called site number 1, 2, and 3, according to the order of the excavation. These were a part of a larger monastic complex, which all been much more extensive than excavated remains are showing today. So also the ruins are reported to be like from 6th, 7th century to 10th century, but also this was written in the archaeological report with no further explanation about this thing. So it's rather wide range. So site number 1 is the best preserved. Among the three structures is a small shrine with painted walls and clay sculpture of a sitting Buddha. And now in my head, among the paintings, there is a representation of this Buddha with emanating little Buddha looks like a really a pictorial counterpart of the sculptures in Rawak. And then we have, at the distance of 70 meters southward from site number one, there are two adjacent remains, site number two and three. And number three is this one. Is where is the mouse? Ah, okay. Number three is the largest structure with the inner rectangular courtyard. And it's reported that could have been connected with the dwelling area for monks. Then we have site number two, is a temple with a quadrangular inner cella surrounded by an external circumambulatory corridor, a typology of temple that is common in Khotan as seen in Dandanoilik and Karadong. So its main entrance was placed in the north, where traces of steps and a door have been found. And then we have remaining pedestals inside and outside the inner cella hold traces of the original placement of sculptures. These are highlighted in yellow here. And on the eastern side, there is an adjoining room with its own entrance. Okay, this one. This is the eastern part, which has also a flagel step. And it is not clear whether this inner cella could be accessed also from the eastern room or not. The votive clay plaques, a total of seven, have been found inside the eastern room, precisely in two spots, one specimen in front of one of the two statue bases, so they are highlighted in red here, and six specimens and various fragments in the southwest corner of the entrance, where it can be assumed has been the place of another sculpture. Their position is a clear indication that they have been deposited there as an offering. This is a picture just to show you how the remains is taken from eastern side. Beside the clay plaques, in the hip of southwest corner, a negative of the inner impression has been also found. So this small object, it looks like somebody put the clay on the inset and then constructed another mold. I will come to this later. The plaques are made of unbaked clay, gray in color, with smaller darker gray lumps, and have also similar teardrop shape. And the measurements are here, like average, they are all the same size. And at the center, they have an oval impression deeply inset beneath the rim, which is thick and rounded. The impressed design is identical in all the plaques. Seemingly, these have been created from the same stamp. It shows a bodhisattva, a Padmapani, seated on a double lotus throne in Lalitasana, his right foot resting on a separate small lotus. The right hand rests on the right knee, palm upwards, maybe in a Varada Mudra, while the left hand rests on the throne behind the bended leg and holds the long stem of a flower, lotus, in full blossom. The bodhisattva has a slender body with narrow waist and broad shoulder. The details, no inscription is visible in the picture, neither it has been reported. We see some pattern in the space between the figure and the border. So here I'm talking about this thing of the impression, but it's not clear from this specimen, but it seems it cannot be a script. Let's look. Also, in my case, this is not systematic. It's an overview. So, if you have other comments or idea on connecting evidence, you are really welcome to give me some hints. But for the time being, so I extended I was searching for comparable evidence from Khotan area, and the documentation is scarce at the site of Khotan. A short survey into the published material has shown that this type of object appear among the material of two other sites, interestingly both in the area of Domoko. So we have in Kadalik, it was this stupa shape, cruciform stupa shape votive offering, and they have been found in the here inside the cella of temple Ka 2. And then we have in Karayantak, so this site here, we have only the picture because it was such in a bad state that Stein couldn't even make a plan, but he said that it was similar to the temple in Kadalik. And as you see, these two sites are, especially Kadalik, is very close to Topluk Dong. And these are the clay votive plaques that have been found in Kadalik, in number of 15. And the specimens described by Stein provide further details on the impressed image. And for example, he knows for the pattern in the background that the rest, I quote, the rest of the background is covered with small curls, probably representing flames. And then also he said that this has been found in an area of near the remains of what evidently had been a central image base in stucco. So interesting also in Karayantak, one negative impression was found among the heap of votive plaques, and as described by Stein, a clay mold struck from the relief of one on this same series, evidently for the sake of producing more of these votive offerings. And then he noticed that not all the impressions of these 15 specimens are the same, are all clear in the same way. And so sometimes he comments bad impression from a poor mold taken from one of the series of this negative impression. More about this, what I think about this later. But what we have now, obviously, these votive plaques are from the same, say, factory and circulated in the area. And the presence indicates that the temples of Kadalik, Karayantak, and Topluk Dong were active in the same period and shared the same ritual practices. Now I give a... in the area of Khotan, this is a recent, relatively recent publication. Now they start to come, many of them. And this is from unknown archaeological context. Only, so these are found near the area of Chira, so a few kilometers eastward from Domoko. And the circumstances of this finding remain unclear. And then we have in Otani collection, so he collected some of these objects and partly are preserved at the Lucian Museum and partly also at the Seoul National Museum. And here they say that they come from Khotan. This is a completely different type. And then in the Lucian Museum, we have other few examples that are basically same as those in the Seoul Museum, but unfortunately the documentation that was attached to this object at the Lucian Museum is lost because of difficult circumstances that they are excused. And so the attribution to Khotan remains not 100% sure. Especially, I mean, one of the specimen, I mean, the origin is should be taken with carefully because one of the specimens seems to be similar to an item from the British Museum collection, which has been found by Orlstein in a temple at Toyuk in the area of Turfan. So this one is not exact mold, but belongs to the same type. If we extend to the Tarim, yes, in Turfan there are also other evidence, not only from Tuyuk, but also from another site in Sasik Bulak. Then we have some plaques in the Tunghuan area, but they are sort of also the date goes a little bit beyond the archaeological range of Khotan. And what I wanted to say is that all these specimens, including those at of the Otani collection, all in all are different in style and composition from the examples of Domoko. And The way they are made is also different because of clear-cut rims resulting from pressing the clay into a mold, while the Domogo examples have been made by pressing the seal into the kneaded clay, as can be deduced by this mass around the impressions. According to Tucci, the latter type belongs to the earliest phase of clay seals impressions, and this would place, from the point of view of the technique, the clay plaques from Domogo in the same phase, say, between datable as early as the 7th or 8th century. So from the available archaeological evidence, it seems that with exception of the area of Domogo, no other similar impressions circulated in the Tarim Basin. Padmapani in this posture was very popular over a large area of Asia, particularly from the 7th century on. However, in the remaining evidence of Khotanis, this type seems not to appear, but again, this was not a systematic research. The style and the type of the impressive figure, slender body with narrow waist and broad shoulder, three-banded body, find instead close pictorial and sculptural counterparts in India. Just to show some examples, these are in from three sculptural pieces from Nalanda, all dated to the beginning of the Pala period, and stylistic similarities are quite evident with example from Domogo. I would say that the Padmapani in the posture of Lalitakshipa and identified as Avalokiteshvara Lokanatha was very popular in India and in Tibet and is often reproduced upon the tsatsa. So for instance, we have in Western Tibet from Toling, considered one among the earliest tsatsa from Tibetan area, has an inscription in Sarada and has a close resemblance to the votive plaques from Domogo. And according to Klim Gusarte, this prototype can be traced back to the Nalanda examples that can be dated to the 10th century. Nalanda, along with the Mahabodhi temple, is an important repository for the study of these objects. They are relevant sites in connection with the hypothesis that these clay impressions were used as a religious souvenir given to pilgrims. This was an hypothesis by Tucci, and have been a source of inspiration for the creation of tsatsa in other places. However, for example, Lawson in his doctoral thesis from the 80s, unfortunately never published. He studied all the tsatsa of the Ashmolean Museum, and he suggested that the souvenir hypothesis was not... he said that they were used mainly as a religious practice, so the souvenir was secondary. In Tibetan area, earliest archaeological evidence of tsatsa is from the 10th, 11th century. So to find earlier evidence datable to the so-called Tibetan imperial period, so 7th to 9th century, we have to expand the area of our inquiry to neighboring Qinghai region. And here we have interesting comparison with the votive plaques of Domogo is offered by finding from excavation in Tibetan tombs in Tulan, and they are reported to be mainly from two sites, Keshaodo and Rushui. We have this typology with around tablets with imprinted Buddhist prayer or with the image of a stupa. And then the second type, we have with images of Buddha in Padmasana, and another type represents the seated bodhisattva with a small stupa. Among the larger tsatsa, so these are also 7 centimeters, one type shows a seated bodhisattva beside a stupa. This type is very close, according to me, to the Domogo specimens. And then I consulted Amy Heller, who studied this object, and so she gave me some comments which I'm reporting here. Like, she said that in comparison with other tsatsa, these have similar scale of deity and surround. They are relatively similar composition, but also they are stamped in the clay, and the clay surrounds is not trimmed afterwards, which is how tsatsa are in Western Tibet. So Heller thinks that these plaques were probably made from an India mold and shown by the as shown by the ovoid halo iconometry in asana and reflect the imprint of India late Gupta early Pala aesthetics known in Tibet during the 8th to 9th century. And she thinks that this had been important to Tulan from central Tibet or Tunghuan. And she adds that presumably these artifacts passed via central Tibet to Khotan and Tulan. But we can argue also it could have been the other way around. So this also is the Indian subcontinent and precisely the Bengal area where we found the most striking evidence of resemblance with the Moko specimens. Some terracotta slabs recovered from a trial excavation at Rajasthan in the district of Dhaka and now kept in the Dhaka Museum bear circular or oval impressions arranged in rows of three in regular sequence, showing each a figure in three different postures, Dhyanasana, Lalitasana, and Maharaja Lilasana. Sorry, a long Sanskrit word. So this has been studied by Bhattasali, and he interprets these three figures as representing the Buddhist Trinity, Shakyamuni, Manjushri, and Lokanatha. And then he says that these kind of slabs were abundant in the site and might have decorated the outside of the Buddhist temple. So rather than for the purpose of pure ornamentation, the use of these clay slabs with multiple repeated impressions had the same function of votive offering as the single clay plaques. Despite some difference in details, so the most visible one is the presence of a stupa in the right side of the figure, and the I think that impressed figure is an unmistakable similar in type, style, shape, and size, especially size, to that found in the Moko. One could maybe even assume that it has been created by the same workshop. Or Susan Huntington published the two other examples in similar shape, size, and style. Unfortunately, we don't have any archaeological information about these specimens because they come from a private collection. It is nevertheless interesting to include them in the survey as further evidence of the diffusion of this typology. In this example, the difference is that the figure left hand holds a staff, vajra, instead of a flower. Huntington attributes an Eastern Indian or Bengal origin to this plaque and a date of circa 8th century. The size of the impressed image of the specimen is also close to both the Moko and the Dhaka example, approximately same size as well. Huntington adds also that on the background of the figure there's an inscription, probably recording the standard Buddhist consecratory formula which encircles the figure, but no other information about this inscription is given. So if it was an inscription, the way it is displayed on the impression recalls these small curls described by Stein, which he thinks probably representing flame, and from the clay plaques of Karayantak. And as my personal speculation, maybe it's also possible that these were a distorted transmission or misinterpretation of an original model-bearing inscription, and then the inscription itself being transformed into a decorative pattern, but it's just a speculation. So summing up, it seems clear that the type of the impressed figure on the clay votive plaques from the Moko leads to Eastern India and to an artistic production that belongs to a chronological horizon of the 8th, 9th century. The type of impressions found in Bengal must have been circulating in Buddhist Asia and could have been at the origin of the Lokanatha and Lalitakshina popular in the Himalayas, so the tsatsa from Toling and in Tulan, as well as of the Padmapanya or the Bodhisattva sitting on a double lotus in the Lalitasana pose and Varada Mudra impressed in the Domoko examples. The presence of the, let's call this second-hand mold in the sides of Domoko, so this impression obtained from the votive claim, could be a hint that the original mold was not available locally or became worn through overuse, and that the monks had to find a means to reproduce the clay plaques. This might also mean that perhaps, it's all speculation, the mold of the plaques were imported from other sites. So in the end, I want to show this map that what tells us. The clay plaques from Domoko, besides being a glimpse of a phenomenon, that of the spread of a cultic practice that was probably more diffused than the actual documentation shows, are most of all an important archaeological evidence of the existence of routes of communication that facilitated the transfer of iconographic forms from one center to another. At the moment, it's still difficult to reconstruct these routes due to the incompleteness of available information. In this specific case, we cannot say if the votive plaques from Domoko result from direct contact with Eastern India or Bengal region, or if this transfer has been intermediated through other routes of communication. In this regard, one should not underestimate the importance of Qinghai region within the Buddhist network of communication. We know that there was actually a Qinghai branch of the Silk Road. And latest Chinese archaeological research in this area has in fact suggested some similarities and connection with archaeological material from Khotan. This is a thread that is worthwhile exploring further. Thank you very much.